this morning. The first announcement is the altar flowers that we have on the altar were donated by a family who had a funeral this past week. So if you let the family take the flowers first, and then you can help yourself to whatever is left after that, the flowers aren't going to last forever. So if you could take them after the service, we would appreciate it.
Yes. The middle flowers are not from the
family. No, I bet. Thank you. Not the middle flowers, the ones on the sides.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry. That's an important distinction.
Yes.
The second announcement is to remind the deacons that we are going to be having our monthly deacon meeting next Sunday, immediately following church. Also, please mark your calendar for our craft show and bake sale. It's not this coming Saturday, it's the following Saturday, so please plan to attend. I know the Women's Association met this morning. Do you guys have any announcements as a result of your meeting?
The craft show is under control.
The craft show is under control. Praise God. Final announcement is... Yes, and then yes, BJ.
For the bake sale, any donations, I will be here Friday night and Saturday morning for any donations for the bake sale.
And if I have leftover cookies at my installation service this afternoon, I will freeze them and bring them to the bake sale. If you are able and willing, I would really appreciate it if you could come to my installation service at Mount Nebo this afternoon at 3 o'clock. It will be a very almost identical service to the one that we did here in January, but it will be with the saints at Mount Nebo. And there will be a cookie table afterwards, and I peeked into the kitchen on my way here, and there are probably 64 dozen of cookies. So please come and help eat the cookies. Because as a lot of you know, I'm in the middle of a fruit and vegetable challenge. So while I can eat cookies, I cannot eat 64 dozen of cookies. So please plan to attend. All right, any other announcements for the good of the cause? All right, let us begin today with our call to worship. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing out the praises of God. Come, all you people, and now the joy of the Lord. The love of God is greater than the tongue can tell. Bless the Lord, all you people. Bless God's holy name.
We praise and worship and honor and glorify your name, O Lord.
At this time, I invite you, if you're able, to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Let Us Build a House. It's number 301, and we will sing verses 1, 4, and 6.
Five.
I can read. 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
me now for our prayer of confession. God,
our fears and prejudices run deep. Sometimes we can only see our own point of view. We stick with those who are like us, rarely venturing outside our comfort zones. We do not hear those crying for justice and true peace. We blame those who are suffering and in need, instead of standing by them. We deny the power of your gospel to unite us with those who are different from us. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Open us to new possibilities of life for all of your people, and use us to enact the new life given in Christ.
By Christ's work, we are reconciled and united with God and with one another. Thanks be to God for the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. So we are going to say the Apostles' Creed together. It is on page 35 of your hymnal. Friends, let us confess the faith of our baptism. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
But on that note, let us greet one another. So if you all could help me spread the word, we're probably going to have worship in here next Sunday, too. The boiler is not broken, it just needs some parts, and it may take more than a week for the parts to come in. So we'll just plan to meet in here, unless by some miracle it's 100 degrees on Sunday. But we'll just plan to meet in here. I think it is actually supposed to go up to 75 next weekend, but it's going to be cold this week, so we'll just plan to be in here. All right, let me share with you the joys and concerns. Do I have all of them, or do we have additional ones? Okay.
We have an anthem first.
Oh my gosh. See, I need to read. I'm so sorry. We have a congregational. You're not the only one. Thank you. Yes. So we're going to sit, or do you guys? You guys can stand. We will sit.
No, everyone sit.
We're just all going to sit for the congregational anthem. It's number prayer requests to share with you this morning. The first prayer request is for Kathy Sege, that she may need a bone graft on her wrist for a fracture that never healed a couple years ago. She has a doctor's appointment this coming week to check and see what's happening, so please pray for her. Also, Kathy has asked us to pray for her manager. He was in a car accident a year or so ago, and he's re-injured his back. So prayers that his back heals quickly. Kathy Sege has also asked us to pray for her cousin Al. He's 78, and he fell off a roof and broke his back, both legs, shattered his chin, internal injuries, and a broken neck. So prayers that he would heal and that he would heal quickly. Sandy Salmon has asked us to pray for Jackie Stewart. She's having seizures, and she's being injured from that. So please pray that she receives the treatment that she needs for her seizures. Also, we will continue to hold Sandy and her family, We will continue to hold Sandy and her family in our prayers as they mourn the passing of her son, George. I do have one joy to share. Today is Janet and Roy's 7th anniversary, so we will praise God for that. Yay! Excellent. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of meditation, number 749, Come Live in the Light.
Thank you.
pray. Oh God, through your Son, you have promised us the gift of eternal life. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in Him, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Let us now pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, today we pray for Kathy, for Ryan, for Al, and for Jackie. Lord, we ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we lift up to you the family and friends of George Snyder as they mourn his death. We pray that you would especially be with his mother and his children. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We give you thanks and praise for Roy and Janet, and we celebrate with them today on their 7th wedding anniversary. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. You have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may not be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
To God, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you. In the spirit of other things that I've forgotten to do this morning, I apologize, but it is Carol and John's anniversary this week, and I want to take a minute to congratulate them. So congratulations. Yay. And now we will have our scripture reading.
Okay, the scripture is Luke 17, 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Over the summer, I had a chance to reread one of my favorite novels, Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. The novel begins with our hero, Jean Valjean, being released from prison. But in Paris in 1815, as a convicted felon, he can't find either work or lodging. One particularly cold night, he stumbles upon an old church where he meets a man named Bishop Muriel. The bishop takes pity on him and offers him food and a place to sleep for the night. But in the middle of the night, Valjean tries to flee with the bishop's silver. He doesn't get very far before the police catch him and bring him back to the church. When the bishop confronts him, the bishop actually does something really unusual. He tells the police, "Oh, wait a minute, I gave him this silver, but he actually forgot some, and he actually gives Jean Valjean all of the silver in the church." I share this example from Les Misérables because I think it does a good job of illustrating the power of grace to transform a person's life. See, Valjean takes the bishop's silver and he uses it to become an honest man. As the novel progresses, we see that he becomes a man who's a pillar of his community, an honest businessman, a devoted parent, and even a revolutionary. But none of this would have been possible without the bishop's kindness. A kindness that Valjean certainly doesn't deserve. Valjean's life begs the question, how are we to respond to the grace given to us? I believe this is the same question that the 10 lepers who were cured from leprosy ask Jesus in our gospel reading for this morning. Jesus is traveling on a road to Jerusalem when he encounters 10 men afflicted with leprosy. When I say leprosy, what I'm talking about is a range of skin conditions that would have made a person unclean or unfit to live within the Jewish community. Those who were infected by the disease had to be quarantined so not to affect others. They frequently lived on the outskirts of town, which is why Jesus meets them on the road to Jerusalem. Now, according to Jewish customs, lepers were only allowed to rejoin the community once a priest declares them clean. So when Jesus sees the lepers, Jesus tells them, "Hey, you need to go talk to your priest. That way you can rejoin our community." All 10 of the lepers receive healing from the priest. But then something unusual happens. One of the 10, a Samaritan, throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. What's unusual about this is that Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with one another in the ancient Near East. Jews thought that Samaritans were inferior and not worth their time. Yet this Samaritan is so grateful because of his faith in and experience of Jesus that he can't help it himself but throw himself on his knees and profess profound gratitude. What's interesting here is that Luke is setting the stage for his later argument, which is that the gospel of Jesus is not just for Jewish people, but it is for everyone, Gentiles, Samaritans included. Through the Samaritan's example, we learn that the link between healing and salvation is gratitude. When Jesus tells the Samaritan, "Get up and go, your faith has made you well," what Jesus is doing here is he's saying that wellness is actually more than just this man being cured of leprosy. See, all 10 of the lepers in our story were healed, but only one of them shows gratitude for his salvation made possible through Jesus. Well, I'm sure he's relieved that the priest healed him. The Samaritan leper needs to express his gratitude to God for his eternal healing, or his salvation. As I was reflecting on this passage this week, I was struck with the ways that opportunities to transform someone else's life often come, not through some calculated effort, but when we are on our way to go do something else. Our scripture passage tells us that Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem when he met the lepers. I imagine that he was probably tired, maybe a little bit hungry, probably eager to be on his way when these men called out to him for help. How easy would it have been for Jesus to just ignore them and continue on his way? The other interesting part about our story for this morning is that Jesus doesn't actually heal the lepers. The priest does that. The point here, though, is not that Jesus can't heal, but that healing is more than just physical healing, and that Jesus was open to being interrupted. He was open to keeping his eyes open and seeing the real needs laid out on the road ahead. If we return to Paris in 1815 for a moment, I think that Bishop Muriel is a great example of a person who is open to being interrupted. What makes Les Misérables perhaps the greatest novel of the 19th century is Victor Hugo's insistence that ordinary men are capable of extraordinary things given the right circumstances. If you read the novel, you'll see that because of the bishop's mercy, Valjean is able to extend mercy to the orphan Cosette and even to his nemesis, Javert. Valjean responds to the bishop's kindness by living a life of gratitude. And by the end of the novel, Hugo has convinced us that this life of gratitude isn't just for the Bishop Muriels or even for the Jean Valjeans of the world, but for all of us. Because to love another person is to see the face of God. We, however, don't live in Paris in 1815. We live here in Pittsburgh in 2019. Yet I imagine that 200 years later, we too struggle to figure out how to live a life of gratitude in the midst of a life that is at times miserable. One of the things I love about this passage from Luke is that it teaches us that a life of gratitude is not possible apart from worship. Like the Samaritan leper, we too need more than just physical healing. We need to be in relationship with the one who is the source of all healing, Jesus. Worship allows us to kind of re-establish our relationship with God on its proper terms. When we gather for worship, it's not only about or even about what we want, but what God wants and how God can work through us to achieve it. Worship also invites us to consider how often we take God's gracious acts for granted. It gives us a ritual or a space to praise God for who God is and for what God has done for us. Friends, the good news of our passage for this morning is that sometimes extending grace to someone else is as simple as bearing the other person's presence in love. to feel the weight of another person's wearisome ways rub up against the rough edges of our own unholiness. Because our passage for today is calling us to pay attention to how we might express gratitude to God by extending grace to someone else. To get up and go into the world deeply divided by Jews, Samaritans, lepers, and priests, and proclaim that Jesus loves you, and that through him, you too have been given the gift of eternal life. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 765, May the God of Hope Go With Us. Blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.